know that all things are working for my good. Yeah, she's intentional, never failing. All things are
working for my good.
'Cause she's intentional. Hey, and it's
never failing.
All things are working for my good.
He's intentional.
Is a show of enlightenment, encouragement, and empowerment. So I definitely do thank you for joining today. I am Prophetess Amina Campbell, and I am just pleased to have especially my regular guest listening in on today. This has been a blessed week for me. Every day is good, but you know, I thank God that this week I was able to take some time off work and be able to fellowship and be a part of the Full Gospel Baptist Church conference. It was held in Orlando this week, so I was able to just kind of submerge myself into the Word of God, which we need very often. So I'm glad to be back. I'm glad to be with you guys. And today's topic is simply thirsty. The topic is thirsty. Now, we all have our different understanding of what that word means. But before we get into that, we do want to pause for a word of prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you now, God, for our many blessings. We thank you, God, for watching over us and keeping us, God. And we thank you, God, for your word, which heals us, delivers us, saves us, God. We thank you so much, God, for all that you've done and all that you're doing. God, all these blessings, we ask you in advance, in Jesus' name, amen. So we're going to go quickly over to John, the fourth chapter. And we are going to be scrolling through the Bible a little bit today. So keep your Bibles handy or your cell phones or whatever devices you may be utilizing. I am utilizing technology today, so we pray and hope that nothing strange happens. That is John, the fourth chapter. And our topic again for today is thirsty. Now, many of us know this story very well. I'll give you a moment to go ahead and get there, because I want to look at some of the details of this story. Sometimes, you know, we kind of hear the story in passing, or we've heard other ministers talk about the woman at the well, but we don't really know some of the specifics that go along with it, and then how this applies to us. You know, very often we hear these stories and we think, oh, it's just a Bible story. That's not the case. Everything that's in the Bible is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Many of us might not be still utilizing a natural well, but we need to understand how this story relates to us in our daily lives. So hopefully you'll be able to receive the word today with clarity and understanding and find out how it relates. I do still want to hear from you while you're still turning over to John, the fourth chapter. That's St. John 4. So that number is 888-627-6008. Again, the number to call in to chat, give your testimony, or just communicate your perspective about this word. That number again is 888-627-6008. Going to John, the fourth chapter, I'm going to begin at the third verse. And today I am going to read from the King James Version, because I know that's the version that many of you are also utilizing. And the scripture reads, starting at the third verse, "He left Judea and departed again into Galilee, and he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar," actually pronounced Sukar. near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour, which means it was noon, people of God. It was a hot, hot time of the day. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then said the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, asketh drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence thou hast thou that living water? Now she's getting smart. 12th verse. Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. May the Lord add a blessing to the hearers, readers, and most importantly, the doers of his most holy word. Now, looking at the scripture, I know that it was several verses, but again, we want to get an understanding. We don't want to just be running around quoting scriptures and referring to things that we know nothing about. You know, so thank God on today that we have a little bit of time to kind of slow down and pause and make sure that we get an understanding of the word. And all that getting, we definitely want to get an understanding. So now here it is, this woman had come to the well at 12 o'clock in the afternoon. First and foremost, it's hot at that time of the day. The Bible says that she came at the sixth hour. It was hot, but clearly there was something that she needed. The woman is listed here as a woman with no name. It didn't even give us her name, but we do know her situation. We know, obviously, she was thirsty or something was going on. She had some type of a void. The Bible says that she came by herself. Now, why didn't she come earlier with the other women? Because the other women used wisdom and were coming in the earlier parts of the day when it was cool. Maybe it was her situation. Maybe it was her past. Whatever it was, either she didn't want to come with them or they didn't want to come with her. This was a woman who obviously, as I stated, had a void. So whatever her situation was, obviously her friends were few. We find out as we read further down through this scripture, because again, it's rather lengthy and I'm going to paraphrase much of it. But this woman had five husbands. She was shacking with somebody. So clearly nobody's hanging out with this woman with this situation. And we know as saints that very often happens, even in the church to this day. You know, this is a woman who, for lack of a better term, was a woman who knew the word. She was a woman who had been in the church. This is not some woman who had no idea, because she began to talk to Jesus about tradition. And many of us, you know, have been in churches where it's simply about tradition. And that was her situation. She talked about tradition that had gone on in the area. So there were a lot of things that she already knew, as are some of us traditional people. But this is a woman who was, again, thirsty. Now, thirsty, according to the world's terminology, you know, the words that we use when we say, oh, look at that person, they're thirsty. You know, in the world's term, it means that this person is desperate. It means that this person is needy or hard up. Now, just being naturally thirsty means that there just needs to be some liquid added, or there's a void of water. But either way, we know that this woman certainly had a void. And again, this was a church girl. How do we know that? Well, she talked about scripture. She talked about tradition. But clearly, she had not yet had a personal experience with the master himself. And here it is, thanks be unto God, he was sitting there waiting on her, as he has done before for many of us, waiting on us. Now think about it. She was first reluctant. Now, why would she be reluctant about this man who's sitting at the well talking to her? Well, think about it. She's already been with at least six men before. What could this man have to say to her that was going to be different? She had five husbands. She was living with another man. Here he is sitting on the well and asking her for a drink. Well, sir, knowing your background, I mean, you know, you wouldn't even fool with somebody like me. Low self-esteem. Smart aleck. Got something negative to say. And she was making excuses. Like we do very often for why we don't go to church or why we don't do certain things that we're supposed to do. We make excuses. Well, I can't eat right because that's more expensive. Well, no, I drink because it calms my nerves. Or no, I smoke because, you know, I've been smoking for so long. It's hard to kick that habit. Excuses. But we have to know today that there are purposes for this water that Jesus was talking to her about. So again, whether you can relate it better to natural water or spiritual water, there are purposes for water. And we definitely want to be able to understand what these purposes are, because we want to be able to better appreciate natural water as well as spiritual water. But Jesus had to let her know that whatever she was already doing wasn't working for her. So he told her real quick, when he told her, go get your husband, when she was like, well, you know, excuses. And he quickly let her know, well, yeah, I know you can't because you don't have one because you're living with somebody. Sometimes we have to come boldly with the word of God and let people know, according to the word, still in love, because he was still there to help her. But he had to let her know, I already know your story. So before you come with another excuse, let me let you know that I know. Whatever you're doing is not working. The way that you're trying to fix it, it's not working. Let's talk about some of the purposes of water. One of the first purposes of water, whether naturally or spiritually, is it refreshes. Go with me to Psalms 27. And we can hang out around the 13th verse, but really that entire scripture is very relevant. Psalms 27, Psalm number 27, I'll give you a moment to get there. In this entire psalm, you know, and we know with David, you know, he was going through things off and on throughout his relationship with God. He starts out saying, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? You know, sometimes we just have to be able to stop and refresh ourselves with the word of God. But look down with me at verse number 13, because like I said, he throughout this scripture, you know, he talks about his relationship with God and how God had blessed him and where he was, you know, no matter what he's going through, no matter if enemies are after him, no matter if everybody else forsakes him. No matter if everybody else is far from him, he's going to keep seeking God. He's going to stay before God. He's going to cry out to God. He's going to lift up his head toward God, no matter what else is going on with everything and everybody else. But look at verse 13. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. This talks about the refreshing of the water of the word of God. Just like natural water refreshes us. He said he was about to give up until he stopped for a minute to remember what it is who he believed in and what he believed in. And that's what some of us have to do. Sometimes we just have to stop and remember, refresh ourselves with the word of God. Because there will come a time when you'll want to give up, but you have to go to the word. There will come a time when you may want to fall away, but instead fall on your knees. And turn toward God. Seek the Lord's face. Many of us get tired. But when we are physically hot and tired, just like this woman at the well, it's no different than being spiritually hot and tired. We need the refreshing of the water of the Word of God. What else does water do? Well, another thing that water does is it cleanses us. Now, let me talk to you for a minute. Now, I need you to understand this clearly. There is a difference in taking a full bath or a shower versus utilizing a baby wipe on our bodies, expecting to be clean. Some of us try to take parts of the word, just like with that baby wipe, and not the whole word. Some of us try to dab a spot here and a spot there, thinking that that's going to make us clean. But it's just like using a baby wipe. You missed a whole lot of areas. We're okay with giving sometimes. But we think that whole 10% tithe is just way too much. Uh-uh, the pastor already driving a Cadillac. I'm not buying him another car. Do you really think your few little dollars bought his car? Come on now. Y'all be honest. We're okay with singing in the choir, but living right, oh no, that's just way too much to do. I'm young. Y'all just don't understand. The world is different, Grandma, from back in your day. One of the first things that we do to identify with Christ is we believe, we confess, and we're baptized, not sprinkled. Somebody's not coming along splashing us with some water, but we are fully submerged into water and brought up again. Why? This full submersion into the water is an outward show of our inward belief. What is it that we're believing? We are believing that we are now identified with Christ. It is an outward show of our inward belief. We're identified with Christ in his death, burial, and resurrection. We are to look at the water for baptism as a watery grave. So when we go down and we come back up again, we're supposed to be completely renewed. That's one thing. So we need a complete submersion. The next thing that a good Bible-believing church will tell you after you give your life to Christ is that you need to come to Sunday school, you need to come to Bible study, you need to get engaged in church activities so that you can grow in the Word of God, so that you can learn more about salvation, so that you can be surrounded by the Word of God. It's time out for baby wipes. We need to fully submerge ourselves into the cleansing water of the Word of God. See, some of us are running around and thinking that we're okay. Some of us are running around and we're smelling, but we're ignoring it. And other people are noticing you stink. Your situation stinks. Your attitude stinks. Your borrowing money every 2 weeks stinks. Your robbing from Peter to pay Paul stinks. You're going to check cashing places. Write a check to get that check out. And then borrow some more money with higher interest. It all stinks. You're utilizing credit cards to buy your grocery. That stinks. Your bad habits stink. Other people smell them. Other people see it. Can't nobody tell you anything. It stinks. Your negative, defeated mindset stinks. Who wants to hang out with somebody stinking? For some of us, instead of being cleansed, we do like the woman at the well, and we're making excuses. We come up with, well, nobody's perfect. Well, we already knew that. That's why we're all trying to live right. Get it together. Put down your baby wipe. We turn around and say stuff like, well, so-and-so is no better than me. So-and-so is smoking too. So-and-so is drinking too. So-and-so was in the club with me. How's she gonna talk? Why are we worried about so-and-so? We talking about your smell right now. And then the best one. Well, you don't have any right to judge me. I'm not judging you. I'm telling you, I smell you. What you do from there is up to you, but I'm not going to hang around with you while you're nauseating me with your stinking. Amen. Now, y'all need to call and talk to me. The number is 888-627-6008. Again, that number is 888-627-6008. Now, think about it. If you're walking around and you're smelling flies circling around you, you look like Pig Pen from Charlie Brown. Your clothes are dirty. You got stains all over your face. There is a terrible stench when you walk by. You can't keep walking around talking about who's not there for you. You can't keep walking around blaming everybody else for your problem. No. It's nauseating standing near you. We've been here with the shower running all the time. The water is hot. It's waiting on you. It's inviting you to jump in. It's time now to put down the baby wipes and jump in for a full submersion. Call me at 888-627-6008. If you know somebody like that, or if it's you yourself, we need to talk about how to get these people to live in water. We need to talk about how we, if it's you, the person who's listening, who needs to put down your baby wipes, call me. 888-627-6008. Now, the third thing about water is that there is life in water. What are you talking about? If you go over with me to John, the first chapter. St. John, the first chapter. See, we learn from studying biology, learn about the human body, that the body is largely made up of water. Now, in one study, it said 60%. Another study, it said 80%. But the body is largely made up of water. More than 50% of your makeup is water. 80% of your blood flow is water. 70% of your brain is made up of water. 90% of your lungs is made up of water. Every day, your body has to replace 2.5 quarts of water through ingestion and through food. That means you have to take it in. And if it doesn't soon happen, we will die. Go to John, the first chapter. We're going to begin at the first verse. And from whichever version you're reading from, it will pretty much be the same. The NIV says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind." In the ESV version, it says, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men." The same in the NASB version. In the King James version, it says, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men also." Now, we were talking about the Word, and we translated over, and it says in him. So we know we're talking about Jesus. We need Jesus to live. Life, our life, is in Jesus. It's all about him. It's difficult for the natural body to get water from any other source other than real water. A lot of people try to drink soft drinks when they're thirsty. People drink alcohol when they're thirsty, coffee and tea. But do you know that these things steal water from your body? Just like the world. See, you can try psychics. You can try palm readers. You can try motivational speakers. You can even go to your big mama. But I'm telling you, if big mama is not pointing you to the Word of God, she's stealing from you. If that motivational speaker is not referring to the Word of God and giving you some quotes by other people, by other human beings, they're stealing from you. See, that can only keep you for so long. These items steal water from your body, and these types of people and other options, when we try everything except the Word of God, It takes from our bodies. It takes from your physical temple, and it takes from your spiritual temple. What they may be saying may sound good, but it just lasts for a moment. You will soon die. According to John, the first chapter, life is found in the Word of God. He was here from the beginning, and he will be there in the end. The lack of water causes several things to happen to our bodies. And again, if you can relate, call me. 888-627-6008. The lack of water causes fatigue. The lack of water causes a fuzzy short-term memory. The lack of water causes trouble with comprehension, especially in math. The lack of water causes difficulty in focusing. Guess what? It's the same spiritually, people of God. When you have not been fed the Word of God, you get tired real fast. You start feeling like, ooh, if they say one more thing to me on my job. Ooh, if these kids do anything else. Ooh, if this woman keeps talking and keeps nagging. You get tired real fast. You mad at the church folks. You mad at the pastor. You mad at the folks on the job. You mad at your neighbors. You mad at the dog down the street for walking across your yard. Come on now. Fatigued. The short-term memory. How does that kick in? Things are going on. You can't even remember a scripture. Why? Because you hadn't been feeding yourself scriptures. You hadn't been in the Word. You hadn't been listening to the Word. You hadn't been reading the Word. You hadn't been at church hearing the Word. Poor short-term memory. Trouble with comprehension. Wow. You can't even understand what it is that somebody's trying to say to you. You can't take it in. You can't receive it. Because you've been so far removed. Because it's been so long since you had a real word. That when somebody comes to you with a real word, you don't want to hear that. You want to hear somebody rhyming and standing on one leg and holding their ear. Humming. Hooping. And that's well and fine as long as it's the Word of God. We've gotten to the place where we have itchy ears. We want to hear somebody say, oh, yeah, you're going to get that car and you're going to get that house. Oh, yeah, God's going to bless you. But if somebody comes and says, thus saith the Lord thy God. It's like, oh, don't come at me with that. I don't want to hear that. I was just saying such and such. I don't want to hear that. Don't be quoting scriptures to me. We don't want to hear that. We can't receive it. Because we've gotten so accustomed to somebody rhyming and quoting poems. Come on, people of God. Put down the baby wipe. These behaviors make it clear that we're thirsty. These behaviors make it clear that we need a word from the Lord. All the things that are going on in the world, all the things that are happening in this day and time, we have got to get a word. We enjoy going to hear things like poetry, but we won't go to church. It's poetry in the Bible. We enjoy listening to people talking about what's going on, comedians and all of that. God's got a sense of humor, all found in the Word of God. And remember, things don't even look right. Things don't even look the same without water. Think about what happens when a fish washes up on the beach. He's laying there flapping. He can't breathe, can't move, can't do anything. But if you pick him up and throw him back in the water, immediately, he's restored. Immediately, he's vibrant again. And he'll swim off like nothing ever happened. But you got to get him back in the water. What happens with your plants when they begin to dry up? They have not had any water. They're brittle. The leaves turn brown. They don't look right, all sucked up and dry. And after a while, they fall off. They're dying. But oh, if you catch it when it's first thirsty and you can tell, oh, my plant needs some water. You put some water in there, and what happens? It wakes right back up. Because some of us, like me, forget to water the plants. That's just the truth. But when I do, they perk right back up. Just like with us. When we haven't had any water, we haven't had the word of God, we're thirsty. We are in need of the water of the word of God. We're in need of Jesus. Because all that other stuff that we tried is not working. That stuff Big Mama said might only last for so long. Drinking carbonated beverages only lasts for so long because you'll find yourself getting thirsty again real quick. It doesn't last. But real water, now that lasts. That keeps you. That keeps you cleansed. It keeps you refreshed. And it brings you life. We need the word of God. When you don't have any water, you are not able to function in your intended capacity. Think about it. Do you know your intended capacity? Do you know what God said that you're supposed to be doing? Do you know who God says you are? If you haven't had any words, you don't. And you might be thinking, well, I'm a mom. I have a job. I can cook. God has far more plan for you. Jeremiah 29:11. He has far more plan for your future and your expected end. It's far greater. Yeah, being a mom is wonderful. I'm a mom. I have 4 children. But that's not the end all and be all of who God has called me to be. He did call me to be their mother, but there's so much more. But I had to stay in his word in order to understand all of what that encompasses. And further, you don't even know how to be a mother unless you stay in the word. You got to get some word. Because it's not easy being a parent. It's not easy raising children. You don't know what to do. And if you don't pray, if you don't have a relationship with God, them little juggles can run you crazy. How can you teach them what's right and what's wrong? Because you don't know yourself if you're not in the word. But it's so much more in life than just wake up, go to work, come home, eat dinner, watch TV, go to bed, do it again next day. It's so much more. God has called you to be so much more and to do so much more. Many of you have a call on your life in order to be a blessing to somebody else. How can you help them if you don't have a word? So when they're telling you they're in need, what's your response? Well, Big Mama said, well, the other day my psychic told me. How can you help them if you don't have a word in you? What can you do for them if you don't know the word of God? What can you do for them if you don't have a relationship with God? You don't know what to do for somebody if God don't lead you and show you. What is your intended capacity? And are you living in your intended capacity? Are you being who God called you to be? Just think about it. So what else does water do? Water also removes toxins. See, the water works in our digestive tract to remove all of the toxins or the junk from our systems. So if we don't have any water, the question now becomes, well, what kind of toxins are inside of you? What kind of toxins are inside of us? What kind of contaminants have gotten inside you because of some things that you've ingested, if it wasn't water? What's on the inside of you that should not be there? If you don't have the water to help to flush those ungodly things out of your natural body as well as your spiritual body. What's inside you? Is it anger? Are you mad at the world for what you've gone through and feel like that shouldn't have been you? And how could this happen to me? And I did what I was supposed to do and it still didn't turn out right. Are you enraged to where you just look at other people and can't stand them because they have something that you don't have or they have something that you want? And every time you see them, you just want to knock them out because you can't stand them. Every time somebody says something to you, you don't have anything good to say. You look mean, you talk mean, you walk mean, you stumping along. Everybody knows when you come in the room. Or are you walking around in guilt and shame because of some things that you've done in your past? God didn't mean for you to walk around guilty. He came to give life abundantly. You don't have to walk around in guilt and in shame for some things that you've done. But see, if you knew the word of God and if you had the word of God and were applying it, then you would know that you can ask God to forgive you of your sins and move on with your life. You don't have to walk around with your head down because you made a mistake when you were a teenager, because you got pregnant or because you committed some crime. You were stealing cars as a teenager, went to jail, learned how to commit some more crimes. You don't have to stay there. You can come out of that. It's clear that you're thirsty. It's clear that you have a need. It's clear that you need cleansing. Because you're walking around with all these toxins going on. And you can't wipe it off with a baby wipe. You need the full submersion of the word of God. You can't just hit there and hit here and think that that's going to cleanse you. You need the full submersion of the word of God. You can't just turn it on the Christian channel on Sunday mornings, listening to Bobby Jones' gospel for a few minutes and think, all right, that's my Sunday. Back to normal. No, you need the full submersion into the word of God. You can't go to church on Easter Sunday because you got a new outfit and you haven't really heard anything that came across the pulpit because you're looking at what everybody else has on. You're looking at somebody else's red bottoms. You're looking at somebody else's suit. You're looking at somebody else's hairstyle. Because that's what you're focused on. No, you need full submersion in the word of God. Or are you walking around feeling defeated because things have not gone your way? Because you're having a rough time? Oftentimes, when we're having a rough time, it's because of some situations that we've put ourselves in. But I'm here to tell you today, you don't have to stay there. It's clear that you're thirsty. It's clear that you have a need. It's not everybody else's fault. But see, these toxins are inside of you, and the enemy would have you to stay there and believe that that's just it. That's all there is. He wants you to feel guilty and feel like you're not worthy, like that woman. What are you talking to me for? Because I know you Jews don't associate with us. I'm beneath you. How are you asking me for a drink of water? Do you know what kind of woman I am? I'm a woman that's known by my situation. Everybody knows me. They know about all the men that's been in my life. Why are you asking me for anything, Jesus? You're a Jew. I know the traditions. I know how this goes. I'm not worthy for you to even be talking to me. But instead of me listening, I'm going to just give a smart comment. You don't even have anything to deal with. Huh. Was she saying you don't know how to reach me? You can't reach the water. But see, what she didn't realize is he didn't have to reach. He was already the answer. But that's what we do. We make excuses. I don't know, that church over there, they don't move me. They don't excite me. Everything they do is for older people. They don't get me. I want you to know that the word of God can reach you wherever you are, whomever you are. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter where you've been. The word of God can reach you. This woman had a void. And so do many of us. But the answer was right there in front of you. Right there in front of her. And it's in front of you right now. What she didn't realize was all those men still couldn't fill her void. Avoiding the other women going to the well early in the morning when it's cool. That still didn't fill her void. See, it doesn't matter how many people you sleep with. It doesn't matter who you avoid or who you don't like or who you think doesn't like you. Because when you get through with all that hatred and anger and bitterness and rage, guess what? Your problem is still there. You do not have to stay there. You can come to Jesus right now, right where you are. He's your answer. The word is right before you. The word has always been there, waiting on you. Isn't that wonderful? He said that it was necessary that he go through Samaria and stopped in an area called Sychar. Now, even the name of that city has negative connotation when you do some research on it. Some theologians say that it's associated with liar and drunkard. Nothing positive. So here she is in an area where there is nothing positive going on. My God. And she's already in a situation. But that's what we do. We're already in a situation. We go hang out with some other folks with issues too. Because that's where we're comfortable. So she's hiding out with some man that's not her husband. Looking like everybody else. But here it is that she's been through 6 men. And for you brothers who are listening, I don't care how many women you go through. Until you fill that void, you'll continue to have those dogmatic behaviors. My God, you have a void. That's why you want woman after woman. That's why you continue to go on date after date after date and you continue to say things like, I just can't find what I'm looking for. Sisters, that's why you continue to let man after man in your life, in your house, in your child's life. It's because you have a void. You are thirsty. You are thirsty. That's why you don't have a relationship with some of your family members, because somebody's thirsty. But the answer is right in front of you. The answer is right before you. She was important to God. And he sat there waiting on her. He could have gone another way. He could have went with the disciples when they were going to get food. But this woman was important. Why is that? Because once she realized that the answer was right there, once she realized that what she needed had been waiting on her all the time, she wasn't waiting on a man anymore. Once he established who he was and she received it, instead of making any other smart comments, instead of continuing to put herself down and stay there with that low self-esteem, once it hit her who he was and what he could do for her, once we realize what's in the word of God for us, we'll be just like that woman. Because all of a sudden, she realized, wait a minute. I don't have to thirst anymore. Look at the 15th verse again, going back to John 4. In the 15th verse, she said, I didn't want to keep coming to this well anyway. You mean to tell me you've got something for me that's going to fill these voids and I don't have to keep dealing with man after man after man? You've got something for me that's going to fill these voids and I don't have to keep hiding myself in shame and avoiding other people and making smart comments every time somebody talks to me? You've got something for me? a woman of Samaria, a woman from this background, a woman that's done all of this. God, you've got something for me? Yes. Jesus is your way out. Jesus is your way in. Jesus is your way over. Jesus is your way through. See, once you get the word of God, you realize I don't have to deal with all of this. I don't have to subject myself to this foolishness. I don't deserve to stay here. God's got something better for me. My God. And all the signs were there. Everybody could see it. Everybody could notice it. Just like the person wiping with the baby wipe rather than submerging into a bath. Everybody else can see it. We notice it. Jesus is your only answer. We know you're in need. We know you have a void. All the signs were there. She was lonely. She was not being who God had called her to be. She was not doing what God had called her to do because she was trying to fill her void with people, and people will disappoint you every time. People can't fill your void. Think about why you do some of the things that you do. Why do you need to get drunk every single Saturday night? You're not happy. You're depressed. You have a void. Why do you need to sleep with man after man or woman after woman? Because after that moment is over, when you get up, your problem is still there. They might give you a few dollars to pay a bill. But sisters, I'm here to tell you, it won't fill your void. And next month, you're going to have the same bill. You're going to sleep with the same man, or you're going on to the next man. What you gonna do? You have a void that only God can fill. Because see, it's a whole different feeling when you can pay your own bills. Praise God. You have a void that needs to be filled. Brothers, after you get through collecting women and have a harem of women, when you get through with all of that, does it make you feel like a man? Oh, you a big man now because you can collect women. You a big man now because you got one on this side of town and that side of town. Oh, no, you're more manly now. You have a void. And only God can fill your void. You can't fill your void through other people, using and abusing somebody else, being used and abused. You can't fill your void with alcohol and drugs. You can't fill your void with going to the club. Ooh, I just need to be around some people. You can't fill your void that way. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with listening to music. But if every time you listen to music, your mood changes, oh, you have a void. People blame rap music for a whole lot of young people doing things. And that may be true, but guess what? They had a void before they listened to it. And if you don't do something about it and they don't apply the word of God, they'll still have that void. It has nothing to do with music. You can turn on all the Kirk Franklin you want to, because Kirk can rap too. It's not because they're listening to rap music. It's because there's already a void. Maybe you need to spend more time with them instead of talking about how bad your children are. There is a void. This woman was trying to fill her voids by being sarcastic and critical of other people. And so do many of us. When somebody's always negative, I mean, like, you don't have anything good to say? Well, how's your food? It's all right. I mean, you know, it's a little salty. Is something wrong with everything? Well, how's your tea? Oh, no, it's too sweet. Oh, okay. Well, how's the weather outside? It's all right. I mean, it's sunny. It's just so hot. Then when it's not sunny and it's raining, ooh, it's raining. My God, is something wrong with everything? Are you that critical? Oh, such and such has on a pretty dress, doesn't she? I mean, it's all right. It don't really fit her. My God, you have a void. Why are you so hateful? Because you're thirsty. It's simply because you're thirsty. This woman had low self-esteem. She had low self-worth. She had begun to settle for less than God's best for her life. She had developed an unfavorable reputation in the community. And I'm sure that as I'm going through this, some of y'all are thinking of somebody right now. They're coming to your mind. Begin to pray for them right now. And it may be you. Set your focus on God. See, nobody knew this woman's name, but they all knew her situation. And brothers, this is not about a woman, because it could have easily been a man. When people don't know your name, but they know you got 4 or 5 women that come to your house on a regular basis and you just rotating them because that's cute, that makes you a man. No, it does not. You're thirsty. You're looking for something. But see, if you get you one God-fearing woman and you both have the same focus and the same mindset, you don't have to go through 5 or 6 women, because you can get that one woman to do everything that you want as your wife. Sisters, you don't have to have 4 or 5 men, one paying the cable, one paying the cell phone, one paying the light bill, one paying the car note. You don't have to go through that. Pray that God bless you with a job to pay your own bills. My God, you're thirsty. This woman's perspective had become skewed about other people and about herself because she was thirsty. And again, she didn't like her own situation. She didn't want to be that way. She was embarrassed. Think about it. I need you to know today that Jesus is the living water. There is life in the Word of God. I need you to know today that it does not matter what your void is. It doesn't matter how long you've had a void. Because the one thing that I know for sure is that He has been there all along, sitting at the well, waiting on you. God can quench your thirst. God will take care of everything that is missing in your life. But you have to fill your void with the Word of God. I know that you're thirsty. But God will supply all of your needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. He can cleanse you right now. He can refresh you right now. I understand what you're going through. Because, see, there was a time in my life when He had to meet me at the well. And I was already a church girl, but I was going through a situation where I thought, oh my God, after this, I'm just going to die. I'm not going to make it. God, just take me now. And a lot of people close to me don't know this. I wanted to die. I didn't think I could handle it. Oh, but praise be unto God. He met me at the well. When I thought my situation was so bad, I thought it was over for me. And I know that there are others of you that can relate to what I'm saying. I felt, Lord, this is it. This is going to kill me. I can't take it. I'm not going to make it. Know that Jesus is sitting there waiting for you today. I pray now for those of you who are listening. Make Jesus your personal Savior. Get to a good Bible-believing church. I'm praying for you. I'm rooting for you. I understand where you are. This has been Eve's Corner. believe, confess, and be fully submerged. Be baptized. Give God your life. If you don't have a good church home and you're in the Jackson area, come by the Word Full Gospel Church at 3023 Percy V. Simpson Drive. If you want to donate to Eve's Corner, simply go to CampbellMinistries.org or CampbellMinistries.com. I pray with you now, Father, in the name of Jesus, for those who are listening. If there are those who are unsaved right now, God, touch their hearts. For those that are saved and just need a refreshing of your word, God, touch right now. Move by your spirit. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. This has been Eve's Corner. God bless you is my prayer. Thank you.